It's not a weapon. It's not a weapon. It looks like a weapon. It's not a weapon. Okay.
Good morning again. Before we get into the message, I just want to remind people that preaching is not a one-direction kind of piece. It's a conversation. It's the thing we engage in. And it's difficult to do here in this way. But as we go through the scripture, I ask that you think of questions. Think through the things that I'm saying. If there are things that are unclear or don't make sense, to ask questions. When my kids were young, they would ask me something, and I'd give them an answer. And they'd ask me something else, and I'd give them another answer. And they'd say, "How do you know all this, Dad?" And I'd say, "It's because I know everything." But they've gotten a little older, and they can now outthink me. And so if I can be outthought and by my kids, who are at oldest 15 and a half, surely I do not know everything. And so as we engage in the scripture, this is an opportunity for us together as the people of God to come and to hear God's word and to work through it together. And so wherever you find yourselves today, ask one another, ask me, let us engage meaningfully with the scripture, because that's what the angel was trying to tell Mary and the other women who had gathered with her when they went back to the tomb. On Friday following the service here, I remember I was cleaning up the coffee area, the kitchenette that's over here, and I thought I had put everything away. And on Saturday when I came in, the coffee pot actually was still on, and there was this brown, sludgy stuff in the bottom, which smelt terrible, and the fridge was wide open. And I thought, there's no way I left this, but there was nobody here Friday night. Like, there would have been no reason for any of this to be in touch. So I asked Justin Wu. I said, "Justin, I cleaned this all up, didn't I?" Because he was sitting on the couch when I was cleaning up the couple little things. He's like, "Yeah, I thought you had taken care of it." And it reminded me that my memory is terrible, which all of you already know, because there's all sorts of things I always forget. But our memories are not quite like a well-functioning computer. We remember things in a certain way. We pay attention to the things that are important to us, and things that aren't important to us, we dismiss. And so cleaning up the counter, the coffee pot, I really don't care at the end of the day that whether I remember if it's done or not, because I think in the moment that I've done it. And so I do it and I walk away and never think about it again. I cleaned it yesterday. Oh, all right. See, so I forgot even that. And so this is the thing. Our memories aren't quite as good as we think that they are. And that's what's going on in this passage. These women, Mary and the others, they go back to the tomb 3 days later to anoint Jesus' body with these spices and to take care of it as one they had loved who's passed away. Everybody is in disarray. They're confused that he had been defeated because they believed he was the Messiah. And so these women, they go back to the tomb early in the morning to anoint Jesus' body and to take care of it properly, and he's not there. And they're puzzled by this, what's going on, but there's this person, these people in dazzling clothes that say, what are you doing here? Don't you remember what he told you? Don't you remember back in Galilee at least months ago? Remember, the journey from Galilee has taken some time as they'd come down. Remember, he told you way back then that this was going to happen. What in the world are you doing here? And the women amongst themselves begin to think back about what he had said and what he had taught and what he had been instructing them the whole way. And it finally dawns on them, whoa, he was actually telling us the truth. We had dismissed it. We didn't give two thoughts about it. Sure, you're going to raise from the dead. Yeah, you got to die. Okay, whatever. We don't really want to pay attention to that. That's not important information to us, because you're the Messiah. There's no way that you're going to die, is probably what's going on in these women's head at the time that Jesus was telling it. But as they go back on this Easter Sunday morning, they're reminded by the angel that the words Jesus spoke were actually true. That the things he had been telling them the whole time since Peter's confession in recognition of him being the Messiah had come to fruition. Their memories were jogged, their eyes were opened wide, and they ran back to Jerusalem in excitement to tell the others. Remember what he told you, the angel says to them. And they go back and they tell this to the guys who are hidden or waiting, whining, crying up in this room. They enter and they come in and they say, you'll never believe what we saw. We went to the tomb, it was empty, our hearts were saddened that the body was gone, but there was this guy there and he reminded us that Jesus told us that this was going to happen. He reminded us of the scriptures and all that had been foretold. He reminded us that what's happening right now, that the body missing, is exactly as Jesus had told us. Isn't this incredibly good news? And Luke records for us that most of them, which I would guess most of us would be the same, would say, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. That's the most ridiculous thing we've ever heard. Jesus raised from the dead, his body's missing. Are you kidding me? Add to that 2,000 years ago, you're just women. What do you know? Is what the disciples were saying to them. I find it amazing throughout the scripture that it's the women that Jesus always comes to. It's the child that Jesus always speaks through. It's the crippled person or the person without sight or without ears or some other socially difficult situation, that Jesus enters into those situations and uses those people to proclaim that he is the Son of God, to demonstrate that God is at work. But there's one guy in this crowd of people, one guy who hears what they have to say and determines, I need to check this out for myself. I have no doubt that the reason Peter ran back to the tomb to figure out what was going on, to either confirm or deny what these women had been telling them, was fueled by the absolute anguish he had because of his rejection of Jesus on the day that he was put to the cross. Because if you flip back a couple chapters, Luke tells us that first Jesus says to Peter, look, you have no idea what you're talking about. You think you're all tough and you're all strong. You've got this all figured out. But the reality is before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. And Peter's like, no, it's never going to happen. I would never turn away from you. But on that third denial, Luke tells us that the rooster crows and Peter weeps bitterly. He's cut to the heart. The words of Jesus for him dig in deep, and he realizes that he's betrayed the one that he has proclaimed and stated over and over again that he would defend till the very end. I have no doubt that guilt, that sense of anguish, that sense of betrayal that Peter was feeling, that he had committed, fueled his legs as he ran back to the tomb to see what would happen. And he gets there and he sees the same thing these ladies see, and he's utterly amazed. His eyes are opened in a new way. Interestingly, Luke doesn't tell that Peter comes back and tells them he saw the same thing, and everyone went, oh, really? Oh, okay, that's good. Peter leaves it with the women's testimony being the one that's carrying the weight in it all. Luke tells us that Peter comes away wondering to himself what had happened. And the problem was for Peter and for these women, for the other disciples, for you and I, is that we forget. We forget what's already been told to us. We forget the message that has been proclaimed. We forget our own experience. We forget what's going on. And we always ask, why did this just happen? What is going on? The angel tells the women, remember his words. Remember what he said to you. And when they remember, they realize he's risen from the dead. He is the Messiah. He's defeated death. He's defeated sin. We can celebrate this, and we are going to proclaim it to those we encounter. You and I need to remember. But what we tend to do is we interpret life through our own lens. We interpret life in things that make us feel good or make us feel better about a situation. We don't go back to the words that were spoken to us. We don't immerse ourselves in the words of Scripture. Rather, we take the words of Scripture and we either give our own interpretation of it to make us feel better, or we reject it because it's utter nonsense. And we see that in the lives of these disciples on that first Easter morning. A group of them, most of them, reject the women's testimony as utter ridiculousness. You're a bunch of crazy women. Peter is amazed. And Peter begins to piece things together. And as you flip to Acts, which is a continuation of the Lucan narrative, you see this completely different guy who, instead of rejecting Jesus, denying his relationship with him, tells the story of Scripture to those that are gathered around. He remembers what Jesus said. He remembers what the Scriptures have been telling for the whole time. He retells that story again and again and again, not through his eyes, but through the lens and the telling of Scripture itself. And so how do we do that? How do you and I come to this book that for many of us doesn't make a lot of sense, has stories that are disconnected, it's from a culture different than ours? How do we remain true to the story that's being told in this so that we might understand it and live just like these women did and just like Peter eventually did and really all the disciples who finally started to get it together, to begin to see with proper eyes? We need to remember. And we do that through a few different ways. One, we have to actually read the Scripture. We have to know what it says. And so if I was able to, and I really wish this was possible, I wish I could flip through the Scripture and just absorb it all into my head. Understand the names and understand the places and the dates and the story. I wish I could memorize it all instantly and be able to see it all in this image in front of me. But that's not possible, so I need to keep coming back to Scripture again and again and again to know the story. Second thing I need to do is actually study the story. I need to understand what's going on. I need to understand, why did these disciples happen to reject the women's statement? One, it seems far-fetched. Someone's raised from the dead. That's crazy. But two, it's this added cultural piece that women really had no voice. And so that begins to understand, oh, I could see practically why they would reject that. The same way I happen to reject statements my kids make because I think, oh, you're just a kid. What do you really know about anything? We cast things aside, which makes me just like these disciples. And so I need to read the Scripture. I need to study the Scripture. And one of the things that is told throughout is we need to pray through the Scripture. We need to bring the Scriptures before God. We need to hear them in light of who He is. That's why we gather on Sundays and at other times. That's why we pray together. That's why at the beginning of the service, our call to worship is often found in the Psalms, because we're praying through the Word of God. It's infusing and being a part of the things that we do. And the fourth piece I would add, we need to engage together with one another and talk through the Scripture. That I can say, I don't fully understand what's going on here. Do you understand what's going on here? That you can say, I don't get this, or I've come to understand this. Did you know that this happened or that happened? We need to engage together as the people of God around the Word of God. Because if we don't, we become just like those women and just like those disciples and just like Peter, who before they were reminded had forgotten the words of Jesus. They began to interpret Scripture in their own way. They need to hear Jesus' words as being the Messiah and probably just thinking to themselves, nah, he's just another Messiah like all the other guys that died before him. He was really nice to us. I remember how he healed me. I remember how he broke the bread. Remember the breaking the bread story and he fed all those people? That was really, really neat. But he's just a Messiah like any other guy that claimed to be a Messiah. They began probably to interpret the Scripture and interpret Jesus' words in their own ways. And this angel to the women that gathered, and these women to Peter and the rest of the disciples, told them, no, 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 we need to remember his word. We need to remember what he's been telling us from the beginning. I think that's why John starts his gospel, "In the Word was God." And in the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because the Word was who Jesus was. He came to earth to interpret the scriptures that had been told time and time and time again in the history of Israel and what they called themselves, the Jews, in this time. Jesus interpreted scripture that they might understand what God had been doing forever. And you and I need to do the same. My tendency and your tendency is to interpret the scripture through our own feelings, through our own experiences, through our own ideas. But the angels told the women, and the women told the disciples, remember his words. He was the Word. Interpret the scriptures through Christ, the one who was born in a manger, who was raised in our community, who taught us through Galilee about the kingdom of God, who demonstrated the kingdom of God through giving the blind sight and the deaf hearing and the lame feet to walk, who fed people who were hungry, who gathered children around him and called them blessed, who raised up those who were outcasts in society and said, "You are created in my Father's image, and I'm going to die for you, that you might have life to the full. I am the Son of David. I am the Messiah. I am the one who from the beginning has always been with God." As Peter ran to the tomb, he was utterly amazed, and he wondered what happened. It seems very clear when we turn to the book of Acts that Peter must have dove back into the scriptures, because he begins to tell the story of Israel again. You and I, on this Easter Sunday, and tomorrow, and the day after that, and the week after that, and the year after that, and the decade after that, if it's afforded to us, need to continue to come back to the Word of God, to understand its story, to study its pages, to pray through what is before us, to gather together and interact together as the people of God around the Word of God. Because if we don't, we will be like those disciples who hear this story and simply say, "It's a bunch of nonsense," without ever going in and looking at it and seeing the continuity through it. The thing over the last number of years, probably 10 to 15 years, that continues to remind me that the Bible is true, is that humans are never the hero. Humans always fail. And when I look at my own life, I say, that seems about accurate, because there's times where I'm a horrible dad, and I'm a horrible husband, I'm a rotten pastor, I'm a terrible friend. But the story of Scripture is that God is the hero, and that in him I can be redeemed, and in him I can learn to love my kids better, and my wife better, and my friends better, and the congregation that I'm a part of better. In him, the Scripture makes sense, and the story of Scripture makes sense of my life. Because the hero of the story is never me, and I'm sorry to tell you, it is never you, but it is always God, the giver of life, the redeemer of life, the one who desires for us to have life to the full. What has happened? He has risen. He has defeated death and sin, that you and I might reflect the glory of God in everything we do. Let's be like those women who ran back and told those around them, "You will never believe what we didn't see. His body was not there. He has risen indeed."
Let's pray together.
Lord God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this season and a chance to remember that you, Lord, did raise from the dead, that you were not present in death, but you have given victory or have had victory over death. We thank you, Lord, that you interpreted the scriptures not only for those first disciples, but continue to do so for us. Help us to come to your word in humbleness, to understand your story, to study your story, to pray through your story, to gather as your people and to live out your story, that in our weakness you have given us life, in our sin you have covered us and washed us clean. We thank you, Lord, that you have created us, that you have redeemed us, and that you have entrusted us with your word, that we might reflect that the Son has come, he has been raised from the dead, and that we call him Jesus. Amen.